Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, the political analyst Sean Trendy, an expert on swing voters, will look at a really fun new collection of presidential campaign posters from throughout our nation's history from the Library of Congress. This is so much fun, and we have some of them up on our site if you want to see them at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. John hit today on amateurism as central to our American character, and the Undersecretary of Education, Martha Cantor, on our crisis of student loan debt. So a lot to do today here on The Brian Lehrer Show, and we'll get to it all in just about a half a minute. Just want to remind everyone first that this is day two of our spring membership drive, and as this hour goes on, I hope everyone will make a pledge of financial support to keep WNYC alive and strong as independent, not-for-profit radio. Please pledge online at WNYC.org. or on the phone today at 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692. Thanks to everybody for doing your small part, whatever that is, to keep WNYC going. With us now is Sean Trendy, political analyst for Real Clear Politics and author of the book The Lost Majority, about how neither party has a majority of Americans behind it today. Hi, Sean. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You know, we talked yesterday with NPR's Mara Liasson about a striking result in the new CBS New York Times poll that Mitt Romney has developed a slight lead over President Obama among women. Kind of shocking, if true, considering everything that's been going on and the history here. And Mara wondered if this poll might just be a statistical outlier. Now, you follow swing voters very closely. Do you have an opinion whether something is going on with certain groups of women voters?
You know, there were some problems with the NBC, the CBS New York Times poll, rather. It was a callback panel survey, and we didn't average it for that reason. At the same time, though, I think that people have been really overestimating the effect of social issues on women voters. The polling that we see shows that on issues like contraception, abortion, and so forth, there's not a huge difference between how men and women vote. The real divisions come in terms of religion, religiosity, age, and that matter. So I would not be surprised, especially as, you know, Mitt Romney emerges from the primary and whatnot, to see all this stuff tightening and see the gender gap, if not disappear or become smaller, then at least shift so that he's doing much better among men and much better amongst women, even as the gap persists.
And, of course, an earlier poll that was much talked about showed Obama up among women by almost 20 points, specifically in swing states. So can you tell if that's changing? Because that's where it really matters.
Yeah, and those swing state polls become tricky because you don't know how many respondents are coming from a swing state like Michigan, which leans Democrat, or how many are coming from a swing state like North Carolina, which tends to lean more Republican. But generally speaking, we've seen the national poll numbers close substantially over the last month, from about a 5 to 6 point Obama lead to really a statistical tie. So I would be surprised if those numbers in the swing states hadn't shrunk as well.
We're going to play a Romney clip, an Obama campaign clip, also in just a minute, that I think really represent how they're going to go at each other a lot over the next few weeks and months. But how significant is it that Romney gave this speech yesterday on debt in Iowa, a state that Republican presidential candidates have not carried in many years?
I don't mean to correct, but George W. Bush carried it in 2004. It's a state that's typically been a couple points to the left of the electorate as a whole. Over the last five elections, it's voted about 1 or 2 points more Democratic than the country as a whole does. So if you think that the race is tight right now, which the national polls are suggesting, it suggests that Iowa is probably no more than a point or two in the Democrats' camp. And so, yeah, it makes sense for Romney to go there.
So I stand corrected about 2004. But it's a Democratic-leaning state in general elections in general, right?
That's right. Like I said, by a point or two. And so if you think the race is basically tied nationally, that means Obama's probably only up by a point or two in Iowa. And so, yeah, it makes sense for Mitt Romney to go there. He's going to hammer the economic message. And you have to also remember that Barack Obama nationally polls very poorly among whites. And Iowa is an almost all-white electorate. And so that Democratic lean might be disappearing somewhat this year.
I gather your data crunching at Real Clear Politics indicates the electoral college math is better for Obama right now than the popular vote math. Is that right?
Well, that's what our race calls are showing. Now, you have to remember the state polls tend to lag. They don't come in as frequently at this point as the national polls do. And so what we're seeing is probably how the Electoral College looked a few, maybe 3 weeks ago. And as we get more and more state polls, I suspect that Electoral College will tighten.
That same New York Times CBS News poll finds Obama's endorsement of same-sex marriage last week could hurt him politically. 26% of those polled said it makes them less likely to vote for Obama, compared to 16% more likely. What do you make of the importance of that 10-point gap?
Yeah, I think that the decision probably does hurt Obama in the net. I think there are probably more Democrats who are made more or less who are made less likely to vote for him than there are Republicans made more likely. I think in terms of issue salience, there's probably a lot of blue-collar Democrats who are very strongly opposed to same-sex marriage. I suspect there are probably a lot of upper-class voters who are softly in favor of same-sex marriage, but are more likely to vote on issues like the economy.
That still leaves a majority who said no effect on their likelihood to vote for Obama. But even in an economy-focused election, the same-sex marriage endorsement, according to the poll, moves the needle a bit in one direction or another for 42%, if that poll is indicative. You think most of that will just fade away over time?
You know, at the end of the day, this is an election that's going to be about jobs, the economy, and debt, maybe health care. The same-sex marriage issue is like the abortion issue. At the end of the day, I think people use it as a stand-in for general liberalism and conservatism. And there is a small core group of the electorate that's very energized on that particular issue. And so at the margins, you know, maybe a half point or something, the same-sex marriage issue might make a difference.
Sean Trendy from Real Clear Politics and author of the book The Lost Majority, about how neither party has a majority of Americans behind it today. So Mitt Romney, as we said, was in Iowa yesterday, making a case that President Obama has been an irresponsible fiscal steward, especially because of all the debt he's incurred. Obama has a new ad up attacking Romney as a job destroyer for his work at Bain Capital, using voices of former employees of a company owned by Bain. Let's listen to about 20 seconds of each. Romney first.
Now, the people of Iowa and of America have watched President Obama nearly 4 years now, much of that time with Congress controlled by his own party. And rather than putting out that spending fire, he's been feeding it. He has spent more and borrowed more. The time has come for a president, a leader who will lead.
We view Mitt Romney as a job destroyer.
To get up on national TV and brag about making jobs when he has destroyed thousands of people's careers, lifetimes, just destroying people.
He's running for president, and if he's going to run the country the way he ran our business, I wouldn't want him there. He would be so out of touch with the average person in this country.
So a Romney speech clip, an Obama ad clip. And Sean, I think this brings up something you wrote about recently on Real Clear Politics, whether this election will be largely a referendum on President Obama or a choice between two candidates. And I'm sure in some ways it's both of those things. But why are you and other analysts asking it as an either-or question?
Well, there's certainly a component of both, but I just think that the referendum aspect of it overwhelms the choice aspect of it. At the end of the day, that's what's built into the question. The famous question, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? I think that Romney probably has a fairly low bar to clear in terms of acceptability to the general public. But at the end of the day, we've even seen in the president's polls, he tends to come in about a point or two within his approval rating in similar polls. And so that suggests that he's getting people who approve of his job. He's not getting people who disapprove of his job.
And yet Romney has to be acceptable and convince America, for example, that he was not a vulture capitalist at Bain, which is why the Obama folks are trying to flip the question from, are you better off than you were 4 years ago, to would you be better off 4 years from now than you are today with Mitt Romney?
That's right. I mean, they're going to try mightily to do that. All incumbents do that if they kind of have a shaky record. Bush tried to do that in 2004 and was only marginally successful. The Real Clear Politics average had him at about 50% approval rating on Election Day in 2004, and he got 50.5% of the vote, again suggesting that if people liked what he was doing, thought he had done a good job, that they voted for him. And if they didn't, they voted for Kerry.
So going after Romney's record at Bain and his general out-of-touchness, as some people see it, contained in that ad, I guess we'll be hearing a lot of that kind of thing, as we'll be hearing a lot of the kind of language that Romney was using in his clip about Obama's managing of the economy and particularly the debt. The Washington Post story last week about Romney bullying a kid in his high school. Now, it was way back in high school, which I'm sure none of us wants to be judged by, but for people sensitive to this behavior, it raises a character issue, because not every teenager pins down one of his peers and cuts off his hair. And it reinforces an image that Romney already has to struggle with of the arrogant, rich kid, frat boy who doesn't have feelings for others. Is there anything more to come on this story, do you think?
You know, I mean, I really don't think so. I mean, I'm sure the Obama campaign will push it, and I'm sure that it's not the last we've heard of it. But at the end of the day, like I said, I think this really is about Obama more than it is about Romney. And while that's kind of a jarring story, I don't see many people deciding that, you know, that they don't like the job the president's doing, but they're going to vote for him because of some image of what Romney did in high school. So I just don't think it's in the big picture that big of a story.
One column the other day said the issue isn't that Romney did this as a teenager. The issue is he didn't just own up to it last week and use it as an opportunity for a life lesson about personal growth. Instead, he said he didn't remember it, but he wouldn't deny it, which sounded very lawyerly.
Well, it certainly was a lawyerly response, and it wasn't the strongest response, you know, and he'll take a little ding for that. But like I said, I just, you know, there might be some larger meta-narrative that gets fueled, as you suggested, about Romney. But if that's the case, I think this story is a very small part of it.
Last thing, I've heard it suggested that Virginia is going to be ground zero on election night, that when all the swing states fall into their respective sides of the ledger, it may be Virginia, 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 where this is all decided. How much do you think that might happen?
I think there's a decent chance of it. There's a few other swing states that I might put on that mark. But look, Virginia's a state that has gone from a state that leans probably five or six points towards the Republicans back around the turn of the century, the 1900s to 2000s turn, to today being kind of right at the center, you know, about right where the political sweet spot of the country is. So, yeah, especially if it's a close race on election night nationally, I think it very well might come down to Virginia.
What are those other couple of states you would put right at the top of the list?
I would put certainly Minnesota there, a state that's actually been trending Republican over the last couple decades, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, probably some of the Mountain West states like Nevada, although that's been trending pretty heavily Democrat and might not be a swing state this time around. Of course, Ohio and Florida.
Real Clear Politics political analyst Sean Trendy, T-R-N-D-E, author of The Lost Majority, about how neither party has a majority of Americans behind it today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer in WNYC. And coming up next, we will look at this really fun new collection of presidential campaign posters from way back in our nation's history, all the way up to the present. And we have collected a cool little group of them as a slideshow for our webpage. You can go take a look at FDR and Reagan and going way, way back into how campaign posters were created and designed in our nation's history. Check it out at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, and we'll dig into some of this history with a couple of guests, including our own Brooke Gladstone, who wrote the introduction for the book, coming up.